therapy showed me how to open up. It also showed me I don't give a fuck. That's actually not accurate. It actually showed me that I give too much of a fuck, which is the opposite of Kendrick. What was Kendrick trying to say? But that's not what we're here for. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue. Another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
Boy is good.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about how someone sent me an email and referred to me as Gaston Lucien, and I was confused at first. I'm like, oh, right, it's one of my AKAs. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, July 16, 2025. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. And I had a thought today, and has there ever been a time in history when Whitey wasn't angry or miserable? So yeah, when I was in Scotland, without you niggas. No, I mean, I'm talking about Whitey, the Whitey who's like, go back to Africa, that Whitey. I'm talking about, I just pulled up to Tim Hortons, and it would be nice if I could go for a drive-thru and understand the language these people are speaking. I'm talking about that them miserable motherfuckers. You know, that's a longer conversation. Hey, before we continue, I have to say shout out to all you listeners. And and if you're my target audience, I'm going to ask you to do something you haven't done for yourself in a while, and that's applaud yourself. Applaud yourselves, plural form? That's what I meant to say. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Shit is like a two-step program. I meant to say shit is like a 12-step program. I'll have to explain why I'm laughing in a bit. Where was I? The script is all right. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. And feel free to refer to me as Gaston Lucien Lebanon. All right, a reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, excuse me, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode, titled 283, This is Culturally Inappropriate, I pretty much do something I forgot to do on the previous episode, when I was talking about the Clips album, and list out my favorite tracks on them. You know what? No, more like, think of it more like what caused the love at first sight. It'll make more sense when we get to it. But before we do feature thought, we're going to do some quotes and some randomness. Now I'm tempted to call this, instead of quotes and randomness, call it party and bullshit. Meaning it's the starter pack. But yeah, quotes and randomness. First quote, actually, only quote for today is only focus on what empowers you. I don't know if that's a quote or just a thought. So when I say quote, I mean thoughts. It's just something to think about. So only focus on what empowers you. I'm trying to remember the first time I started to apply that. But yeah, focus on, yeah, shit that, don't linger in the past. Shit like that. All right, question four. Let's start with some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. Okay, first randomness. It's I'm thinking about how yo, j'ai pas bien dormi hier soir. I did not sleep well last night. Let me back up. The reason I was laughing earlier is because my phone rang, and a friend of mine, my neighbor who was out of town, was calling me to say, "Hey, I'm locked out," and so I had to hit pause, and hit the pause, you know, help them out, and then come back and record. Anyway, here we are. So I'm laughing because I hit rewind just a bit to see where I'm at. What was the last thing I said? And I caught myself saying, saying two-step program, and I nearly missed it. My point is, the reason I'm giving you this long-ass story about why I had to hit pause is more the realization I think I need a co-host. I recognize I need a co-host because, one, I tend to do some snafus, say some wrong shit. Remember, everything is, I'm having conversations in my head and this microphone is just capturing it. And two, I'll be honest, man. I have this nasty habit of assuming people understand what the fuck I'm talking about. I tend to be, I'm admitted. this is one of those things, if you said that to me, I'd punch you. But no, I'm acknowledging that sometimes I could be all over the place. And that's why I make a big deal out of you listeners, acknowledging you listeners, because if you are a follower of this podcast, that means that you either A, able to follow what the fuck I'm saying, or B, tolerating it. But to that, you're a unique human being. You are, trust me, I'm used to talking to people and just seeing that confused look on their face, or hearing like, "Ah, man, you're all over the place. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about." So I just shut up instead. So here we at, man. I'm considering getting a co-host just for that. To slow the fuck down. With that said, last night I feel the need to share with you how I had the, it's going to get personal, how I didn't sleep properly last night is because there was like a power outage in my area in the middle of the night. Now, you would think a power outage people would sleep through power outages. Like, what the fuck? Well, how do you know this? But not me, because I'm not a normal person. I sleep with the television on. I know. I think I need to learn to meditate, but the TV's playing in the background. My cousin once told me, he said that people who sleep... No, was it my cousin? He said... someone said that, yeah, people who sleep... But who need the TV to sleep, so they'll go to sleep, have a restless mind. Anyway, I remember just waking up and it was pitch black. And my mind was like, "Wait, this is unusual." Just recognize how unusual it was. And I sleep with, I have sleep apnea. So I sleep with that, a BiPAP machine, CPAP, BiPAP. And I remember realizing, oh shit, it's a blackout, and like, wait, how the fuck am I breathing? And taking that, but I couldn't tell you if what woke me up is the fact that it was, the TV was off, it was super hot. Oh, by the way, I should mention that is like a heat wave going on in the 613. I imagine it's similar and everywhere around the East Coast or whatever on my time zone, but yeah, it's been freaking hot. So I yeah, no, the AC, maybe the fact that it was warm, but it didn't feel that hot. Or the fact that, all I know is I woke up to and realizing that, oh, shit, it's a blackout. And it was wild how I could, because the TV was up, I couldn't get back to sleep. I mean, I could, but it just took me a while. Anyways, there was a reason where I was going with this. Is I be the gentle kind. But he says, "Niggas want the tea on me? Well, here's the ginger root." Why the fuck am I talking about this blackout? Yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, lack of sleep, man. It'll come back to me. This is what's going to happen. All right, so I'm going to jump to the next item just to say that didn't get a lot of sleep. It was a blackout last night. And I remember. It's more the idea that the idea that I couldn't go back to sleep because it was too hot. And that's when I know that maybe this is progress on the parts of my parents, in the sense that, because they're from a place where the only way they cold, that's way hotter than it gets here. Granted, global warming kind of may have changed things, or, but whatever. But they sleep with fans on. And it's more the idea that I couldn't sleep through a temperature they could easily sleep through. So in one way, you can call me soft. But on the other end, you could say I'm the success story of my parents. This is exactly why they immigrated to this country. So I wouldn't be able to sleep in hot-ass temperatures like they could. Progress, kids. Progress.
So you're a philosopher?
Yeah, for those wondering why I keep playing through You're a Philosopher, it's just by way of, it's just easier to edit, and at the same time, it just makes it so you can tell that I'm off to a new topic. Right. Oh, okay. This one, someone look, I'm going to read this next question that I found on Threads, and it's just an opportunity to be able to play sound effects that I've collected throughout the while. And the question is, I'll let you marinate on this one. It goes, how do you politely tell someone they're overweight? Yeah, I realize that I'm on camera. You guys can't see me, but I'm also overweight. So as a member of the overweight people, my response is,
shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
And,
on s'en fout de ton avis. Ferme ça ferait du bien. Un ouais. Petit hashtag, hashtag tais-toi.
In both language, both official language in this country. Shut the fuck up. There's not, there, what you're really asking is, how do I practice the art of shutting the fuck up? In the original theme song to this podcast, if you're a heckler, shut up. If you're the point is, I just create scenarios. I just explain scenarios where people should shut the fuck up. That's the point of the theme song. And this, if you're someone wondering what's the polite way to tell someone they're overweight, what you're really asking is, how do I shut the fuck up?
So you're a philosopher?
I'm not going to play this clip, but I will leave it in the show notes for you to watch. And I labeled it under Natalie Reynolds ain't done shit to you but profit off your unfaithful husband. And the clip is a woman speaking about how it's a TikTok clip of a woman put it on blast. Woman, her name is Natalie Reynolds. I don't know who she is, but what I do, according to this woman, she's got an OnlyFans page. I don't believe I didn't look it up, but that's not the point. Focus me. I just realized I didn't even look up the OnlyFans page. But apparently, it's a woman who's got an OnlyFans page, and this woman is going on a rant about how she's blaming this OnlyFans content creator for the fact that her husband has been unfaithful to her. Like she said, yeah, no, she's blaming her for her sabotaged wedding. What's that? The damaged wedding? What's the word that they use? Wedding crasher? No, what's that word they use? Fuck. I forgot the term. Yeah, and you know the reason why I might need a co-host. That word when you like when you get accused for not a wedding crasher, but you guys know what I'm talking about. But the term's not coming to my mind right now. And so she is blaming this woman. The whole content is about how, and she makes content for married men. And the reason I'm sharing this there because I wanted to add to the content section, to the comment section about, but everyone in the comment section pretty much said, look, lady, she didn't ruin your wedding, your marriage. Your husband did. And I don't need to add to this this woman's misguided hurt. I guess this is like a public service announcement type thing. It's like I can fix these people. If I'm in a relationship, my woman leaves me, cheats on me. I mean, yes, I'm mad at everything. But the reality, the fact is, I fucked up in a sense that I made a mistake in who I thought was going to be able to respect our monogamous agreement. That's really what it was. That's what monogamy is. It's an agreement, and some folks can't keep their word. Some folks can't commit, and some folks can commit, and some folks can't. And her husband can. I bring this up because I'm remembering a story of a sex worker talking about how the hell she caught because some married man slept with her. And some married man pursued her, and the wife is attacking her. It's like she's being like all anti-sex work, and because you ruin marriages. And I'm like, come on, man. You're letting your piece of shit husband off the hook a little too easy. It sucks, but you know what? I'll stop talking because, you know, I'm not in a relationship. I understand that feeling is strong. Who knows? I'm talking all this theoretical shit, but maybe if I'm in a relationship and then I end up with some girl who cheats on me, and then I'll be like, man, you know what? I hate women. All right. Yeah, I want to believe that I'm more mature than that, but emotions, I guess.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Okay. I'm going to just play this clip, and it's finally an answer. It's one of those things that I'm going to confess. Even as I've in my black awakening. And embracing myself, accepting that black is beautiful, and reading about my history and all that shit. There were times where I would question the fact that if we are so great, how the fuck did we allow ourselves to get played by a small minority of a human population called white folks, of a European, so to speak. And this next content creator, I liked her response to that answer, and I'm just gonna play it, and because I wanted to play it on the last episode, I remember saying that, bringing it up, but I ran out of time, so I'm just gonna play it, and I let you marinate on it.
Welcome back to class. Today's lesson tackles the phrase, if black people are so great, then why were they conquered? Well, why and how has anyone ever been conquered? Because conquest is not proof of superiority. It's actually usually proof of deep insecurity, greed, and fear. And let's be clear, human history is a long one, long enough for every race, region, and empire to rise and fall. The Romans fell, the Persians, Chinese dynasties, Aztec kingdoms, Greek city-states, they all fell, and surprise, surprise, did you know that African empires existed, thrived, and fell as well? Mali, Ghana, Songhai, Nubia, Aksum, Great Zimbabwe, all powerful empires that in the span of human existence once existed in powerful splendor for over hundreds of years, and then ultimately fell. So the power structures that we see today aren't permanent truths. They're just snapshots in time, because a fall from power is not a reflection of worth. And let's underscore that one does not colonize a place that has nothing. You colonize because there is enough value for you to go to war and risk your entire life over it, whether that's the land or people and or what those people harness. And let's talk about what it actually means to be strong and this idea that Africans were conquered because they were weak. It does not take a genius to kill, pillage, enslave, or erase, because violence is primitive. Empathy, however, is evolved. It is a very fundamental component that humans pride themselves on having in order to separate ourselves from all of the other animals. Though actions do speak louder than words, there is an African-American saying that goes, "You are lucky that we're only asking for equality and not revenge, because the real flex is choosing love over retaliation. It's building in the face of destruction. It's forgiving when the world tells you to rage." And Isn't it wild that black people are still feared, but still hired to raise children, build cities, style culture, refine cuisine, inspire souls through music, and uphold the moral fabric of many bankrupt nations that they are subjugated to, yet somehow are still labeled as dangerous, lazy, inferior, yet somehow also essential? White supremacy is not logical. It's not spiritual. It's not even sustainable. It only works through violence, theft, and narrative control. So if you're asking why black people were conquered, maybe reframe that question to how and why are they still here? Because the truth is, the beauty of what makes us human is not our savage ability to take advantage of the kindness, empathy, and goodness that other humans have, but it's the ability of human decency in the face of such savagery. And let me keep it real for the ancestors, because they are not all kumbaya. You do not conquer greatness. You just delay its legacy with a little bit of context and memory moving forward. Class dismissed.
Message!
Yeah, powerful, huh? I'm tempted to say, what do you think about this? But needless to say that only black folks. No. I'll let you think about it for yourself, but I really appreciated this answer. By the way, name of the content creator is Nubia the Creator. Nubia.the.creator. You know, someone... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Not that it doesn't matter. Just matters. Class dismissed. But it does remind me of... That's what it is. Hearing her response reminded me of how I felt when I heard KRS-One drop the track.
You must learn!
All I know is everything about this reality has been fed to me from by Whitey. And when I mean Whitey, I mean this white institution. And they presented this idea that, hey, the reason where you are at is because of bad karma. Because you're lazy, because your people were stupid, because your people didn't know Jesus, all kinds of things. And it was wrong. A lot of what I learned about myself as a black person, as a human being existing while black, was wrong. But I was powerful, man. Powerful. All right.
So you're a philosopher?
I am going to quickly talk about this next clip. Let me just play it. That's been coming up in my timeline, TikTok timeline, very often.
You deserve to die because you are sinners.
You deserve to die because you are sinners. And it follows up with, I'm not sure who the original this person is, but everyone is, in my timeline, it's been a bunch of Christians who've been like, commenting on that and saying, hey, bitch, they're not calling her a bitch, but they're saying, yo, what she's saying is fucked up, you're traumatizing these kids, and da-da-da. But it felt too much like Christians being, we're not her, we're not, that's not what Christianity is about. And as a former Christian / preacher's kid, I want to say, just in bracket, or parenthesis, in parentheses, the link that I shared, I'm bouncing off what the link that I share, the content creator's name is Dr. Vanessa R. Brooks, and she's has her take on it and about how you're a bitch, you traumatizing these kids, and my take is like I'm agreeing, but I'm also thinking about two things. One is how I grew up in a church and surrounded by people like that. And it wasn't just the fact that I was surrounded by them, but I had to treat them like family. I had to be kind to them. I had to be, give them a hug, give auntie whatever the fuck, give auntie crazy lady a kiss and all that shit. And so embracing them and silencing that voice inside me that's like, yo, run. They're not good for you. There's some instability going on. They're not. Don't listen to them. They're nuts. They're ugats. Is that what? Ubats? I don't know. I don't know how to say it in Italian. The Italian slang. But two things is, one, as an adult, it took me a while to recognize how I found myself being drawn to people like that. And in my mind, it was a combination of either it was my duty to love them, to tolerate them, to help them out, or to listen to them, or, you know, yeah, sure, they're saying crazy things, but find some logic. God might speak through them, some shit like that. And two, on my journey as a former Christian, and that's the part that I want, for if any Christians listening is, so one person says, I'm going to pray that on your journey to unlearning that, you know, it goes, I forget what they said, but I would say to the Christian listening, I hope they take this moment to realize that people, if you do encounter people who are hostile towards Christians, hostile to you talking to them about Christianity, to you trying to convert them or to try to be like, or separate yourself from these people, that's why. Because some of us are unlearning this trauma, like it's a trauma response. It's going to be a while before I can be like, feel safe around Christians. Now, don't get me wrong. I grew up in a Christian household. Yes, they're the good ones and whatever. But it's going to be a while before I put my guards down. And I'm not speaking, I'm not speaking against you wanting to be Christians. Keep that shit as a relationship. Like Malcolm X said, yo, keep that shit in a closet. Keep it to yourself. Let it be your guiding. If that's what you use to do right in the world, good for you. But don't shove that shit down my goddamn throat. Because you will get some hostility. And if hostility doesn't work, then blocked. Blocked. You are not entitled to my time. But anyway, yeah, that's it, man. I was triggered by that. But I think the biggest thing that I want to keep is the whole Christians distancing themselves from people like that. Or trying to act like that's not true Christianity. It's like, come on, man. I let Jesus explain it himself. All right, so this allows me to segue to the next topic.
So you're a philosopher?
I think I really brought up the part about whole distancing yourself because it allows me to talk about I'm going to play this next clip. And the caption reads, don't call men boys or monsters when they do horrible things. It creates a false narrative. And after that randomness, after I play this clip, see whatever the fuck, and then I'll be talking about how I finished the book, Know My Name, which is kind of a link. So now, here's the clip.
I no longer call men monsters, including men who commit terrible crimes. And I want you to hear me out. This article shifted my perspective. It writes about Dominique Pellicot, who was recently very publicly convicted of drugging his wife and then recruiting more than 50 local men to... I censor the words, by the way, because social media platforms force me to. In the article, British professor Vinita Sundaram writes, describing Dominique Pellicot as a monster is to minimize a wider culture that enables violence against women. The same culture in which a Telegram chat with instructions on how to women has more than 70,000 members. The same culture where Mpist was democratically elected president of the United States. I could go on, but you get it. Calling these men monsters makes them seem separate from the rest of society, when in reality, they are products of it. The article is linked below. Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear them.
I don't have the article. Wait, where's the link to the article? Oh, it is in there. Okay, so you could, the link that's in the show notes will take you to the Reddit post. And in that Reddit post, in the comment section, you'll see the article that she's referring to. And the main reason I'm sharing this is I strongly agree with what she's saying. I actually had an episode, I think it's an episode that I put out was titled Raised to be Monsters. I forget what I said in there, but I do know the theme was the idea that us boys, we are not monsters, just like white people aren't evil. But the system that we live in raises us to be monsters, white people to be evil and to by evil like oblivious to it's not my problem, whatever. So, but men, we were raised to be monsters. And the easiest way I can prove that, or I can explain it, but assuming that you're receptive to the message is, and I've seen it several times, when a man ends up having a kid, ends up, the moment a man realizes, he realizes he's going to be raising daughter. Now, the mature ones, the grown-ups in there, the first thought, there's going to be a brief moment where they're going to be like, oh, fuck. That poor girl and all these monsters. Because the first thing they talk about is, I'm going to buy myself a gun when she's turned 16. I'm going to get her boyfriend. Because we know it, either you're the man who played women or who was at some point a monster in some woman's life. And I say monster, but like deceitful, whatever, a shitty human being towards this woman. Or you were in my category where you turned a blind eye to that shit and normalized it. The bro code. So yeah, no, I'm acknowledging that, yes, part of this definition of being a quote-unquote real man is to be a terrible person to a woman. Speaking of being a terrible person, let's jump to the next diet.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, for those who know, I've been reading the book, Know My Name. I say read the book, the audiobook, Know My Name, by author Chanel Miller. And I'm done reading it. That's my point. That's, on this podcast, we celebrate small and big victories. Actually, small victories a lot. But I finished the book! Yay! This segment is not just to brag about the fact that I finished the book or celebrate the fact that I finished the book, but also want to celebrate, acknowledge the fact that it was a great read, man. It was homegirl can write. Now, I'm not going to give you a book report. I've already talked about some of the chapters that I went through, but the one out of the remaining chapters that I went through, the part that sticks to me the most is how she was, Chanel Miller explains how she had a lot of haters, needless to say. A lot of monsters were coming after her to be like, oh, you know, what happened to you? Didn't happen. All kinds of bullshit. But apparently, so Chanel would make the mistake of would punish herself by reading the comment, some of the bullshit things that people are seeing on the internet. And one of the many comments that she's read out, the one that stuck to me the most is, or what I want to talk about now is, apparently there was one guy who said stupid shit like, yo, how could this drunk sorority girl, alcoholic, you know, because at this point they had dismissed her at this party girl who gets drunk and leads men on into and ruins men's career. But it was more the idea that some dude, I'm assuming it's a dude, said, yo, how can a chick like that write such an eloquent impact statement? So see, he was saying that, no, someone else wrote it for her because there's no way she could have written that. And I was offended. And the part that, there are terrible people in this world, but she talks about, when she starts the book, she mentions how her mother, oh man, she explains it better, but her mother is a writer, has a successful book, or hottest book? Damn. Not the Oprah list. On China's Oprah list. What I'm trying to say is a bestseller. Oh my God. Has a bestseller in China. And my point is, writing was in her genes. Now, it is a shame what happened to her, so we can see her writing. It is a shame. End period. Stop there. I'm just bringing up what she wrote needed to be written. Now, I joked about in a previous episode about how I want to create, while reading this book, I had the idea of creating a support group for men who want to beat the shit out of Brock Turner because they can't process the complex feelings that this book invokes. It's just easier. Let's just beat the shit out of the guy than analyze this. And it was a joke. The punchline is, because the book is not about wanting to beat the shit out of Brock Turner. The book is, it's more this woman asserting her humanity, saying, this is who I am. No, my name is my name. But also speaking out on behalf of other survivors. I read the book. I went through the book and I was more, what was taking me is, well, A, the shit was making me emotional. Just had me thinking about how this cruel world and the people in it, this hypocritical world and the people in it. And it had me thinking about that, had me thinking about, look, it was a journey, man. It was a journey that I'm grateful that she wrote this book. That's the point I'm trying to say. I think about all these people who were meant to do something in life, and this would be an example of it. She was meant to write. I have one more link. Excuse me. This is it for randomness, but I'm just saying in the show notes, I have a link to an interview on The Daily Show that happened back in 2017. Wow. I mean, aren't I late to the party? This book's been out for a while. But an interview in The Daily Show when, what's his name again? The South African black dude. Yeah, I smoked a lot of pot as a kid, and that's why I forget people's name. Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah was on The Daily Show, and he interviewed her. And, the person I read in the book matches the person who's been interviewed, and just a likable soul and whatnot. Once I mentioned that, I'm reading this book like I'm reading the memoir of a friend. Hence why I want to beat the shit out of Brock. I'm not a violent person, but a lot of violent emotions came up while reading this book. With that said, Shut Up Podcast. I have Oprah has her list. New York Times, well, Shut Up Podcast. It's on Shut Up Podcast bestseller list. It's my first book on a bestseller list. With that said, we're going to talk about some culturally inappropriate shit after this break. The two-time Gemini with the genocide. I'm generous. However you want it, I'll be the gentle kind. I love that line. Gentlemen and gangsters, connect the agenda of mine. Sorry, my favorite, I just like the line. However you want it, I'll be the gentle kind. You know what I mean? No, I won't. All right. I'm back, by the way. Back from the break. All right. I'm going to keep this one short. The whole point to this is just to talk about on the last episode. What was the title of the last episode? Doesn't matter. I'm not going to put my brain. I'm hungry. I need to get something to eat. Just got off work. And you kids don't appreciate shit. All right. I'm pretending to be the tired parent who comes in after work, and this episode is me making food for you ungrateful kids. Wow, that's how you attract the audience, kids. That's how you do it, right? By dissing the audience. Alright, I talked about it on the last episode, and it was more the featured thought of the last episode was more focused on what inspired the talk was how much I enjoy, how I enjoyed selective. I curate, not all of it, but some coke rap, drug rap, coke rap, whatever you want to call it, coke rap. There's a short list of rappers I enjoy it from, and Clips is definitely on it. And I was talking about how, on the last episode, how I enjoy it as a form of entertainment and a form of escapism. On this one, I just realized that I didn't say, I've never once said the word, this is culturally inappropriate. And I like that, you know, because, I got to confess, I'm a black guy who reads Rap Genius. So I'm a black guy who's got to look up lyrics and slang sometimes. And someone asked a question on the King Pusha subreddit. It goes, What's the meaning of this is culturally inappropriate? And the bottom line is just like, apparently while they were recording, someone just said, this is dope. This shit is culturally. It's their way of saying, yo, this shit is just good. From what I understand. Let me read one of the comments. Someone said, plays into hip hop being. Okay. Someone might be getting. Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. Oh, maybe this is truthful. 120 likes. Plays into the hip hop being the last form of black expression idea that they talked a lot about in the interviews before the album. The music is so full of black excellence, amen, to certain people it might seem culturally inappropriate. Shit. All the music I grew up listening to were culturally inappropriate. In a more general sense, it's repeated as a theme motif through the album, something that's extremely common in musicals, and movies music for examples, but also seen in hip-hop sometimes. Pharrell especially has a trait of doing stuff like this in his production from time to time. Culturally inappropriate. Yeah, well, look, just look, fuck it, man. It's just a dope shit to say. Kind of like reading that Bible verse before you pop a nigga in. Pop a cap in a victim. All right. So, yes, the album, you know all the details about them. It's a dope-ass album. Okay, here's the point that I'm just going to get at, right? I'm going to list out my favorite tracks on the album. It doesn't mean I only like... When I say it's my favorite track, I mean, like, the same way... let's pretend, like, this album is, like, a woman I meet in the club, and I had a love-at-first-sight moment. And when I'm talking to my friends about her, well, I'm not going to talk about how, oh my God, she's educated. And, you know, look, I'm not that enlightened yet, but I'm not going to talk about how she's educated. She's got her own house and the deep shit. She's got her own podcast and she likes, you know, I'm not going to talk about the trait that makes her human. I'm going to talk about the first thing I saw. And that's like, just got a fat ass. She got a fat ass. Okay, so this is me saying. These are the features. So the when I talk about my favorite, the tracks that I'm mentioning are the first one that stand out for me. The thing with Clips is later on, I'm going to smoke some weed, re-enjoy this album, and I'm going to start analyzing and checking out the rapper and the rhymes that they said and start digging into more of these lyrics. Because I know I tend to, like, you know, beat and shit, it's making me dance and not pay attention to the lyrics because they're way too deep. But I'll come back to that. But the first one that sticks out is definitely... First one is Chains and Whip by Kendrick Lamar. Yay! So Be It. Ace Trumpets. Yay! And MTBTTF, Mike Tyson Blow to the Face. Yay! If there was ever a song that encouraged me to be a drug dealer, because chicks dig drug dealers, according to this, though it's more the idea that if I can provide a Mike Tyson Blow to the Face to... That sounds like a little domestic violence shit. Now, if I could provide the kind of cocaine that made a woman feel like she got a Mike Tyson blow to the face, I'm taking her home, or she's taking me home. And the last track on the album that stood out. Don't get me wrong. Again, love them all, but that stood out the most was "Let Them Sort 'Em Out," Chandeliers with Nas. I know there's a bunch of you pissing. How the fuck did you not say FICO? How the fuck you didn't say All Things Considered or EBITDA or Inglourious Bastard or So Far Ahead? What the fuck's wrong with you, man? Fuck this podcast. To all of you, I'm saying, calm the fuck down. I'm going to do something. Now, I know some of you are probably shocked because the best track on the album is the one that I listen to the least. Not because it's bad, well, I'll just be obvious, but it's The Birds Don't Sing. Oh my God. Because shit, two things. Shit is emotional. It's really deep. It's like, look, man, if I want to feel like this, I'll go into therapy. I'll talk to my therapist. It's just deep. It's really like, it's a great song. But it's just really for it's triggering. That's what it is. It's triggering because things with me and my parents aren't really that great. And it fucks with, like, you know, it makes me feel how I feel every Mother's Day and Father's Day. Because you're surrounded by everyone talking about, hey, celebrating their perfect relationship with their moms and dads or whatever the fuck. And I'm on the sideline with the rest of us whose relationship is, you know, it kind of sounds like I'm describing like abusive people. Nah. I'm just going to leave it as, it's complicated. I'll leave it as complicated. And the best song on the album is the one that I listen to the least only because it's a little too triggering. But it's a great song. I'm not telling you not to listen to it. But yes, overall, great album. Fucking 5 stars. I didn't think I was going to live long enough to see another album, another rap album that would catch a 5-star. You know what I mean? And I never thought I'd get excited over a rap group reuniting to put out an album, man. I never thought I'd be like dick riding the Clips album. So yeah, shout out to everyone who's involved. Yay! And if any assholes on the internet talking about it's overrated, give a Mike Tyson blow to the face. I make myself laugh. This was culturally inappropriate. So on that note, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it, or as much as I'm going to enjoy putting some food in this belly, this fat belly of mine. Thank you for listening. Reminder that the website is shutuppodcast.com and email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. This is my way of saying, hey, you're the one who hit the play button. And these thoughts are protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? If you say yes, then let's hang out. This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then middle fingers, 2 middle fingers up. Fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. Yeah.